God, we're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's rewriting Mustang Sally as Bronco Henry. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Jesse Lady Luck Meinson.
You want to beat me? Roll the dice and take your chances.
Lara Eurydice Morris.
If you see me behind you, you're the one going to hell.
And Eric Shuffle Ryberg.
I'm going to scratch your discs.
Hello, hello to everybody, listeners, players alike, and welcome to the third elimination match here in the Ubu division in Season 6. Helping us with all our proceedings today is going to be Score Master Dan. Hi there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, in an effort to add some new content to the questions we've done, I've started reading some newspaper comic strips. So I'm about 4 months into the project, and I'm making progress. I'm pretty sure something's going to happen to Mary Worth at any time. But I haven't managed to write any questions about Crankshaft that don't involve swearing.
Well, good luck with that, Dan. And also joining us today is Production Master Dave. Hi there, Dave. Absolutely. I agree 100%. That means it's time to go on to our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture, but we choose the battle those champions are fighting. Accordion-playing roller derby ref Jesse Meinson, who is your champion today?
My champion's Lucy Ackerman from the film If Lucy Fell.
And from our December Golden Ticket episode, now coming into play in the regular season, marimba player and musical theater enthusiast Lara Morris, who is your champion?
My champion is Lady Kade from the film Ron.
And 90s babe aficionado, I don't know if he's talking about Pam Anderson or that pig, Eric Ryberg, who is your champion?
My champion is Luke Danes from Gilmore Girls.
All right, champions are locked in, so let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would inspire the most popular designer fragrance? Jessica, why is Lucy Ackerman going to inspire the most popular designer fragrance?
Well, as everybody knows, Lucy Ackerman was all about collecting spit as a love test. And because musk and anal glands are used in the making of perfume, I believe that that, in combination with the roses that she has at the end of the film, would make the perfect fragrance.
Thank you, Jesse. Now, Laura, why is Lady Kade from Akira Kurosawa's Ron going to inspire the most popular designer fragrance?
Well, for a designer fragrance, you want some inspiration that kind of like evokes some kind of like emotion or time and place. And I think it's a historical character. She's from Japan that sort of like brings a lot of great imagery to mind. She's got those great outfits. So like she's kind of looks like she's in a fragrance commercial already. And I think that, you know, when you think about like, what do women want to smell like? You want something kind of dangerous, maybe a little bit sexy. And I think vengeance is really like a great scent. You want to smell like you're about to like engage in a multi-generational revenge plot to avenge your family. And so I think that's why she would be a great inspiration for a designer fragrance.
Thank you, Lara. And Eric, how about Luke Danes from Gilmore Girls?
Luke is set up perfectly for this because he works in he owns a diner that's in an old converted hardware store. So he's going to have just the perfect combination of scents to particularly attract the opposite sex. Coffee, pancake batter, cut wood, flannel, all those things that, you know, all gender stereotyped men and women, have between them in terms of what makes them attractive and what attracts them. So Luke's really going to work in the scent department there.
All right. Three pretty strong arguments, but it's not up to me to decide the winner. That honor goes to Score Master Dan. Dan, who's it going to be?
All right. So we do have to reiterate, the question wasn't who would have the best fragrance, but who would have the best selling fragrance, because those aren't always necessarily the same thing. So I think I'm going to judge this more on the branding. So we've got a small town coffee shop owner who famously just tries to get people to leave his coffee shop. I'm not sure that's going to work so well in terms of trying to sell it to the people coming to the counter at Macy's. Lady Kade, that's an interesting one. Wrong with Lucy Ackerman. I do think we're going to exclude Lucy Ackerman because while, you know, while she's certainly very stylish, even though she's going up against Elle Macpherson, in the movie, she is also a weirdo who winds up dating Ben Stiller, who's painting things with his body parts and stuff. I don't think that's going to lead to a good marketing campaign. Whereas I do think that Lady Cade's marketing campaign is going to be something to behold. I could see those ads. So our winner today is going to be Laura and Lady Cade.
Fantastic. Congratulations, Laura. You have won my champion, which means you now get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will have half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. For just $149, you can get the scent Like This, which combines pumpkin, ginger, and wood scents inspired by this Doctor Strange and Suspiria star.
The only person who I know who is in both those movies is Tilda Swinton.
Correct. The creator of that fragrance is Tilda Swinton. You've not only earned the half point, Laura, but you get to go first in round one, 135 lives. It's finally happened. Cats have risen up and taken over Hollywood. They run the show, and it's all cats all the way down now. In this game, we'll give you the description of a catified piece of pop culture, and you tell us the name of the new property with a cat-based rhyme in the title. So, if we told you that this was a 1997 movie in which feline genetics programs have created a dystopian social hierarchy that prevents ambitious kittens from going to outer space, you'd know we were talking about...
Catica.
Catica. Yes, that would get you 10 points. If you need a little help, we can give you the name of one of the humans involved with the original, but then a correct answer is worth just 5. Let's start it off with Laura. This is a 1978 song. They make the rocking world go round and round and round as they circle a dozen times before deciding where to sit.
Cat Bottom Girls.
Correct for 10. Next for Jesse is a 1998 TV series. A fashionable New York cat makes a living writing about her relationships and those of her close friends.
So then Sex and the Catty.
Doesn't rhyme.
Almost there. Sex and the Kitty. Because it's a full-on rhyme. Next up to Eric, a 2015 TV series. Cats reproduce and send up classic documentaries.
Oh, man. If it's the Fred Armisen, Bill Hader thing, I know what it is, but I can't remember the name. But I'm going to have to take the hint.
Involved with it is Fred Armisen.
Okay. Okay. Documentary Meow.
Correct for 5 after the hint. Well done, Eric. Next up, back to Lara. It's a 1991 movie. A group of urban felines go on a dude ranch adventure.
Oh, Kitty Slickers?
Absolutely. Back to Jesse. This is a 1996 TV series. A playful cat is supposed to be the mayor of New York, but he's mostly just chasing his own tail around in circles while his deputy does all the work.
Okay, this is Michael J. Fox and the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I cannot remember the name of it. It's Kitty something, but I don't know. I gotta pass.
Laura knows this one.
Oh, it's Spin Kitty.
Absolutely. Back to Eric. This is a 2018 movie. A woman gets bonked on the head during an exercise class and starts to think she's a cat.
Man, movies of the last 5 years are not going to be my strong point. What is the hint?
Starring Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. The only thing I can think of is Trainwreck, but I don't think that's the plot of that one. And I can't make a cat rhyme. Train Black. Pass.
Jesse knows this one.
I Feel Kitty.
Right, right.
Yes, riffing off I Feel Pretty, that 2018 comedy that Michelle Williams is kind of good in, I gotta say. Next up to Lara. This is a 2010 TV series. A study of the social upheavals of a striped and mottled aristocratic family as they, and their help, learn to navigate a changing world in Edwardian England.
Okay, so that sounds like Downton Abbey, but I'm trying to think of... Oh, Downton Tabby.
Correct. Ooh. Next up to Jesse, a 1987 TV series. A private investigator teams up with a chubby DA who has a bunch of kitties to solve crimes.
I was 6 years old, and I know there was something called Jake and the Fat Man, but I think that was later. I'm going to say Jake and the Cat Man.
Correct. Well done. Back to Eric. This is a 2005 movie. A stylized comic book-based neo-noir about a beat-up tomcat and the other residents of a crime-ridden city.
Sin Kitty?
Absolutely. Based off Sin City. And that'll take us into our first score break from Score Master Dan.
All right, this game is good and close. Jesse's on board with 10 points. Eric is ahead with 15. Laura is in the lead. She has 30 points and the half point. She is completely perfect so far in the game.
All right, Laura, see if you can hold on to that lead with this next catified prop culture property. It's a movie from the year 1990. A guy picks up a woman and offers her $3,000 if she'll pretend to be his cat for the week.
A kitty woman.
Nice. Next to Jesse. This is a 1998 movie. At night, aliens come in, erase the memories of all the cats, and rearrange the scratching posts without anyone noticing.
Dark Kitty?
Yes, off Dark City. Well done. Next up, back to Eric. Eric, this is from a 1942 movie. Therapy helps an older cat regain her confidence and make a new life for herself.
1942, therapy helps an older cat regain her confidence. I'll take the hint.
Starring Betty Davis.
It's not all about Eve. Pass.
That catified title is Meow Voyager.
Wow. Okay. What's the original title?
Now Voyager.
Now Voyager.
Let's not want for the moon, we have the stars. That's the only thing that anyone remembers that movie for.
One of those famous movies in which someone changes their eyebrows and suddenly isn't a spinster anymore.
There we go. Okay. The original librarian takes off her glasses.
Absolutely. Next up, back to Lara. This is a 1987 song. It's a song that asks you to take me down to where the catnip's green and the cats are pretty.
Paradise Kitty.
Absolutely. From Guns N' Roses. Next up to Jesse, this is a 2013 movie. A group of cat burglars move from elaborate stage shows to an impossible heist.
Oh my gosh. 2013, elaborate heist. I need a hint.
Starring Jesse Eisenberg.
It's not Now You See Me. Is it Now You See Me? Now You Kitty? I don't know. No, I'm past.
You were so close, Jesse. Eric, what is it?
It's Meow You See Me.
Aye.
And Eric closing out round one with a 2002 movie. A kitty seeks revenge when a sleazy Hollywood producer steals his idea for a movie.
I'll go ahead and take the hint because nothing's jumping out.
Starring Frankie Muniz.
Oh, man. That little guy? Is it the one with Giamatti? And I just don't know the title. Yeah.
Answer here, Big Cat Liar. Based on Big Fat Liar, you're right. It does also co-star Paul Giamatti.
Gosh darn it.
Well, that'll do it for round one. Next up, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey there, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about this week's content over on our Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Patreon page. This Friday, our listeners will get a special bonus game delivered to their feeds for them to play on their own in The Empty Studio. This week's game is called Hop to It. It was all cats in round one this week, so we're going to keep on the house pet train with a connected chain of trivia questions all about our favorite pop culture, bunnies and rabbits. So the cute mammals are in high supply this week. Get that game and plenty of others at usaquizshow.com/membership.
Going to round two, it's time for the Fruit Brute score break. Fruit Brute, the forgotten monster cereal. And maybe the best? Chew on that, Booberry. At this point, Laura's in lead with 50 points and the half point. She has been perfect all game. Jesse's behind with 20. Eric has just 15 points. That means he'll go first in round two.
It also means Eric gets a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Eric, you're about to hear a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match correctly. Here is your Threequalizer question. While the fictional NYU and Columbia stand-in, Hudson University, has appeared many times on Law & Order, it has also played a role on three other NYC-based police TV franchises. One is a 2010 CBS series, one is a 2002 CBS series, and one is a 2009 ABC series. What are they?
Definitely out of my wheelhouse, but I'll just go ahead and go with Blue Bloods? 2002 CBS and 2009 ABC. Maybe The Mentalist? New York Undercover.
10 points for knowing Blue Bloods. The other two are Without a Trace is the 2002 CBS series, and the 2009 ABC series to feature Hudson University is Castle. Now, sticking in the realm of universities, we're going to go to round two, entitled It's All Still Academic. Here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, we take pop culture seriously, but some people might be taking it too seriously. In this game, you'll be identifying pop culture properties based on titles and descriptions of published academic articles about them. For instance, if we told you that a 2016 article in the journal Politics was called Lessons from Westeros, Gender and Power in Blank, you'd know that we were talking about
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. 30 points for that correct answer. If you need help, we can read you an article excerpt, and if you're really stumped, we can give you the year and the medium of the property. 10 fewer points after each hint, but you can guess after each hint that you get. Let's start it off with Eric. This is a 2003 article from Youth and Society entitled Adolescent Ambiguities in Blank, Popular Culture as a Resource for Sex Education.
Sex in the City?
Here's your excerpt. Critically incorporate popular culture into sex education efforts to develop programs that resonate with teens' experiences and at the same time allow them to construct more equitable social relations.
Man, blanking on what might be around. The OC?
It's a 1999 movie.
Cruel Intentions?
Love that guess, but that is American Pie, the subject of that article.
I'm going way too serious. Okay.
Do we think that Cruel Intentions or American Pie be a worse place to learn sex ed from? I don't know.
Next up for Jesse is a 2007 article from Law and Literature entitled Fracking Toasters and Jurisprudences of Technology, the Exception, the Subject, and Techne in Blank.
I definitely need a hint.
Excerpt. Concerns in legal theory regarding the exception in the wake of 9/11 and also questions of gender, race, and biology. Through revealing the problem of the subject in concrete and the transposition of biology through technology, it offers the image of techno-humanity as a direction for jurisprudential thought.
I'm gonna say Bionic Man.
It's a TV show from 1978 and 2004.
So it's been done twice. Would that be Bionic Woman?
Lara knows this one.
That's Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah.
The Fracking Toasters. Gotta be BSG. Next up, Lara, this is for you. It's a 2002 article from Game Studies entitled Blank, Feminist Icon or Cyber Bimbo on the Limits of Textual Analysis.
Okay, so something pre-2002, some kind of sci-fi thing. I'm gonna take the next hint.
Excerpt. Neatly expressing the polarities around which most popular media and academic discussions of Blank tend to revolve. It is a question that is often reduced to trying to decide whether she is a positive role model for young girls or just that perfect combination of eye and thumb candy for the boys.
Oh, I threw up reading that.
Eye and thumb candy? Maybe a video game character, so I'm gonna guess Lara Croft.
The Tomb Raider herself, Lara Croft, for 20 points for Lara.
You have given in the past people points for saying Lara Croft, and I object to that officially.
Noted.
Apologies. Next up to Eric. It's a 2004 article from the Journal of Musicological Research entitled Fallen Woman Redeemed, Eliot Victorianism and Opera in blank.
Eliot Victorianism and Opera in Madonna's Ray of Light?
The excerpt can be read in the context of both social and political efforts in the early 1980s to revivify an idealized Victorian past, and of scholarly attempts to understand the continuing impact of Victorian discourses around femaleness and sexuality.
I'm extremely lost. So I'll go with the next hint.
It's a musical that premiered in 1980.
A musical that premiered in 1980. Torian, oh God, I should know this. Fallen Woman. Cats?
Absolutely.
All right.
10 points for Cats. Next up to Jesse. It's a 1993 article from Women's Studies Quarterly. The fairy tale theme in popular culture, a semiotic analysis of blank.
I'm going to say 1993. Is it going to be The Little Mermaid?
Blank was the one movie that seemed to best depict the representation of women in 80s backlash cinema. In one fell swoop, it did away with every advance for women's rights made in the last 10 years.
Oh, that's a really tall order. Some about the 80s. Let's say 16 Candles. That wasn't good for anybody.
It's a 1990 movie.
Oh, 1990 movie that was really bad for women. Heathers?
It is
a pretty woman,
the answer we're looking there. Yeah. Next up to Lara, a 2007 article from Popular Music entitled Marketing Androgyny, The Evolution of Blank.
I'm going to guess David Bowie.
The most popular manufactured boy band in the world, and as such influences the sexual development of millions of young women and men. The presentation and marketing of Blank, and their youngest member in particular, encouraged queer readings and how those subtle queer subtexts in the music and videos may have affected their mostly young, uncritical audience.
Okay, I'm gonna. I think that this is related to the clip at the beginning of the episode. I think this is the Backstreet Boys.
Oh my God, we're back again.
Absolutely, for 20 points, and that'll take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Halfway through round two, Laura's starting to run away with it. She has 90 points and the half point. Eric is behind with 35. Jesse's on the board with 20.
All right, kicking it back to Eric. This is a 1987 article from Cinema Journal. It's called Blank and the Japanese Nightmare. When Then is U.S.
Die Hard?
Excerpt, that Blank protested United States H-bomb tests around the Bikini Atoll seems at once obvious and repressed. Placing the genre in historical context reveals its dual inscription into Japanese and American culture and its ongoing political message, from H-bomb tests to Star Wars.
I don't know. Person show? MASH?
It's a film franchise that started in 1954.
Film franchise, 1954? Oh, man. Dirty Dozen?
Lara?
Is this Godzilla?
Absolutely, Godzilla. Back to Jesse. This is a 2017 article from Class, Race, and Corporate Power entitled The Self is Dead, Alienation and Nihilism in Blank.
Okay, it's from 2017, but that sounds like it could be something from the 80s. Self is Dead, Alienation and Nihilism in... Is it?
It's a really good
Yeah.
I'm gonna need the hint.
Drawing upon Eric Fromm's psychoanalytical diagnosis of man and capitalism, this essay reflects upon some of the most political and philosophical themes of Cartoon Network's Blank.
Oh, wow. I was going like somewhere completely different. Cartoon Network. Oh, Archer.
This is a 2013 TV show.
2013 TV show. I don't know any Cartoon Network stuff.
That show is Rick and Morty.
All sorts of alienation and nihilism over there. Next up, back to Lara. A 2012 article from Studies in Musical Theater. From Book to Broadway, Gender Ambiguity and the Journey into Heteronormativity in Blank.
Okay, so my guess is going to be Rent, but I believe that I'm going to need the hint.
The musical mutes the more aggressively contentious elements of the novel in order to create a performance with an appealing heroine and a storyline that features female friendship as well as the standard romantic plotline.
Okay. I'm going to just go to the next hint.
It's a musical that premiered in 2003.
That's part of that weird era of musicals before I moved to New York where I... Yeah, I'm going to pass.
That musical is Wicked.
Oh, right, sure.
Next up, back to Eric. It's a 2003 article from Communication Quarterly entitled, It's Me, I'm It, Defining Adolescent Sexual Identity Through Relational Dialectics in Blank.
It's Me, I'm It. Quote's not giving me anything. I don't know. Stand By Me.
Jack's sexual identity is constructed and modified through dialectical tensions in his relationship with a girl, ultimately allowing him to express sexual identity in terms of acceptance rather than in terms of political or legal rights.
Boy, again, not getting much, so I'll take the final hint.
It's a 1998 TV show.
Jack, 1998 TV show. No Jack's coming up. Lost. That's obviously not right, though.
Jesse?
Is it Will and Grace?
That's going to be Dawson's Creek. Next up to Jesse. It's a 2013 article from Psychology and Sexuality entitled Safe Wording, Kink Phobia, and Gender Normativity in Blank.
All right, what show before 2013 has kink phobia and gender normativity? There was that Netflix show about a dominatrix. No, that was too late. I need the hint.
Concludes that both the trilogy and kinkphobic mainstream responses to it collude in rendering invisible the ethically and politically problematic aspects of heteronormative courtship narratives ending in marriage and reproduction by othering and scapegoating non-normative practices.
All right, when I heard there was a trilogy, I thought I might have an idea, but I can't think if there's a trilogy. They're against various other kinds of relationships. I still don't know what it is. I need the last hint.
It's a 2011 book and a 2015 film.
Okay, 2011 book. The one with the red room. Is it a red room? And it's Dakota Johnson and that Irish guy. Oh my God. And it's the lady who hated Twilight. Oh my God. She hated Twilight because it was too abstinent. And then she made 50 Shades of Grey.
We got there.
That was a journey. Yeah.
Correct for 10. And closing out round two with Lara from 2018 in the Journal of Popular Culture entitled, It's Called a Hustle, Sweetheart, Black Lives Matter, The Police State, and The Politics of Colonizing Anger in Blank.
Okay, so maybe some kind of police-related pop culture pre-2018. I'll guess The Wire.
Blank is expressly about a utopian society, interspecies tensions, prey versus predators, and the operations of a city police force. Given its content and timing, the film contributes to public consciousness and public discourse about the police state, race, and the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States.
Okay, so I didn't watch this movie, but someone next to me on a plane was watching it, and I think I may have gotten the gist. So is this Zootopia?
Disney's Zootopia. Good pull.
Nice.
Well, that'll close out round two. Up next, the scores from Dan, and onward to our final round. Before the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by next week's episode, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Dan.
At Seattle Grace, she played a star, who later fled really far. She fought a really snappy dresser and was a managing professor. With Anne Heche, she continued to spar.
Think you know the answer? Then find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out the application page if you want to come play in the big leagues on a future season, or check out the Dream Team page where you can make suggestions about other podcasts you'd like to hear the hosts of come play on this one. Then find the answer to our riddle, along with plenty of other craziness related to the show, on our social media pages. We're on Instagram and Twitter at USA Quiz Show. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. Let's hear the scores.
Going to round three, it's time for the Great Gildersleeve score break. The Great Gildersleeve. I just wanted to let Dan read something that he would enjoy. Go ahead and do that Gildersleeve catchphrase, Dan.
You're a hard man, McGee.
At this point, Lara is in lead with 110 points and the half point. Eric's got 35. Jesse's got 30. Anything can still happen in round three. This is still very much anyone's game, especially with the categories that we have here. Jesse is going to need to get 9 correct answers in her round in order to pull into first.
All right, Jesse, as Dan said, anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and then have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Step to It, Hark a Vagrant, ITV, and Kansas, Boston, and Chicago. Now, these topics are a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick something you think you're going to do great on, or maybe keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Jesse, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the categories would you like? Once again, they are Step to It, Hark a Vagrant, ITV, and Kansas, Boston, and Chicago.
Step to It sounds like it might be about dance, so I think I want to stay away from that. And, I'm here in Europe. Why not take Kansas, Boston, and Chicago, was it?
Do you have a guess on what this category is going to be?
I have no idea. Traffic hubs? I don't know.
Well, Kansas, Boston, and Chicago are all, in fact, rock bands from the 70s who ventured into the vein of soft rock. So this is all going to be about sensitive male 70s soft rock music.
Perfect.
90 seconds on the clock. Jesse, are you ready?
Sure.
Summer breeze blows through this of Seals and Crofts minds.
Pass.
Winnie gets Kevin the new Bread album for Christmas on an episode of this series.
The Wonder Years.
Sister Golden Hair by this band was lyrically inspired by Jackson Brown.
Pass.
Harry Nilsson's cover of Everybody's Talkin' features in this Oscar Best Picture winner.
Pass.
British act Godley and Cream was formed in the aftermath of the breakup of this I'm Not in Love band.
I don't know any of the pass.
This Elton John song was inspired by Bernie Taupin's wife's background in ballet.
Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer. Poco's coming in to record an album after the cast of this musical on Documentary Now.
Pass.
Don Henley gives a rare interview in a 2013 documentary about this band.
Oh, Don Henley. Oh, that sounds so familiar, but no, pass.
This Alone Again Naturally performer did not write The Pirates of Penzance.
I don't know most of those things. Sorry, pass.
Barry Gibb told Billboard magazine that this ballad was his favorite Bee Gees song.
Oh, I surely know that. Bee Gees. That should be a thing I know. Nope, it's not there. Pass.
This singer met his old lover in a grocery store on Christmas Eve. It's going to be Dan Fogelberg in his song, Same Old Lang Syne. All right, Dan, let's hear the Jesse report.
All right. Let's go through the passes first. This is a tough category if you weren't deep into 70s soft rock, and who would admit to that? So, Summer Breeze blows through the jasmine of our minds for Seal and Croft. The band that did Sister Golden Hair was America. The cover of Everybody's Talkin' is from Midnight Cowboy. The band that did I'm Not in Love is 10cc. Poco's coming to record an album after the cast recording of Co-op on Documentary Now in their best episode. Don Henley gave a rare interview in a documentary series about the Eagles. The whole thing with Pirates of Penzance, see, the joke is that Alone Again Naturally, the performer is Gilbert O'Sullivan. It's like Gilbert and Sullivan. So it works on two very nerdy things at once. And Barry Gibb told Billboard magazine that How Deep Is Your Love is his favorite Bee Gees song, because picking The Winner Takes It All would have just been super mean. Jesse got a correct answer there. She's up to 40 points. Unfortunately, not enough to move her into first. Eric's up next. He has 35. He'll have to get 8 correct answers in order to move into first place. Certainly doable.
All right, Eric, you are up next. 3 categories left on the board. They are Step to It, Hark a Vagrant, and ITV.
Hark a Vagrant sounds like some kind of anagram. And so I'm just going to pick that for fun.
It's not an anagram, but why are we not doing that for lightning round naming conventions?
Oh my God.
That's a great
Please
idea.
No.
No, in this case, this is a reference to the Kate Beaton award-winning comic Hark a Vagrant, which includes many characters from literature and pop culture. So this is all going to be about characters appearing in that comic, Hark a Vagrant. 90 seconds on the clock. Eric, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
A Beaton comic has this singer chase down and torment some so-called nasty boys.
Janet Jackson.
Beaton uses a strip to wonder about the baby of Tom and Daisy in this classic novel.
Pass.
This 1988 sitcom was briefly revived in 2018.
Roseanne?
Murphy Brown. The New Mutants was among the spin-offs of this movie franchise.
X-Men.
This Darkest Hour star plays Beethoven in Immortal Beloved.
Gary Oldman.
The sequel to City Slickers had this subtitle.
Curly's Gold.
The Legend of Curly's Gold. This comic character was paired with U.S. Acres for a 1988 TV series.
Garfield?
This literary detective has been on film since at least 1916.
Sherlock Holmes.
The opening animations for PBS's Mystery come from this artist.
Gory?
In Top Gun, this witness star plays Charlie.
Kelly... Pass.
Beaton mocks this gothic literary trio's questionable taste in men.
Pass.
This teen detective got her own CW TV series in 2019.
Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew right before the buzzer. Well done, Eric. All right, Dan, let's hear the Eric report.
All right, only a couple passes to go over. Everyone forgets that Tom and Daisy have a baby in The Great Gatsby that just never shows up, and we don't really talk about it because it would make the whole thing weird.
Pretty sure Daisy forgets pretty often.
Yeah.
Kelly McGillis is the witness star who plays Charlie, or halfway there, and the gothic literary trio with questionable taste in men, of course, is the Bronte sisters. You wouldn't want to marry any of those guys. Eric got 7 correct answers. That's a pretty good round. He ends up with 105 points. Laura, this is just for funsies now. You have 110 points and a half point. Let's see how high you can go.
All right, Laura, 2 category choices left on the board. Which do you think you could potentially set a new lightning round record with? They are Step to It and ITV.
Well, I also suspect Jesse is right, and Step to It is dance stuff, which I don't know if I'd be good at. But I don't know what ITV is, so I think I'm going to go with The Devil I Might Know and do Step to It.
Well, you're right that it's related to dance. This is going to be all about dance movies. So dance in the world of movies. 90 seconds on the clock. Lara, are you ready?
Sure.
Michael Cimbello co-wrote and recorded this song for Flashdance.
What a Feeling?
Maniac. Baby carries this fruit to a party in Dirty Dancing.
Pass.
The 1948 ballet movie The Red Shoes takes inspiration from a story by this Danish author.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Julia Stiles was cast in this movie off her table dance scene in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, what is the title of that thing? Pass.
Channing Tatum met this actress who he later married on the set of this... Channing Tatum met Jenna Dewan, who he later married, on the set of this dance flick.
About Step Up.
You Got Served features 4 members of this now-defunct R&B boy band.
Pass.
2000's Center Stage is the feature film debut of this future Avatar star.
Zoe Saldana?
The 2004 Richard Gere movie Shall We Dance is a remake of a movie from this country.
Spain.
Japan. Christina Aguilera does her spontaneous dance audition with this song in 2010's Burlesque.
Pass.
In Black Swan, Nina dances in a ballet by this Russian composer.
Tchaikovsky.
Miles Teller takes on his role in the 2011 remake of Footloose.
Kevin Bacon.
Chris Penn. This director had to be convinced by Neve Campbell to make 2003's The Company.
Pass.
This song on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack provides the title for the movie's sequel.
Stayin' Alive.
This singer-songwriter wrote songs for the Broadway version of Billy Elliot.
Pass.
That's Elton John. Elton John is the writer of the music for Billy Elliot. All right, Dan, let's hear the Lara report.
All right. Just a couple of passes to go over. Baby carries a watermelon to a party in Dirty Dancing. Julia Stiles was cast in Save the Last Dance. These all have very generic names. On the basis of her table dance scene in 10 Things I Hate About You. The defunct boy band who was in You Got Served is B2K. Christina Aguilera does her spontaneous dance audition to Wagon Wheel Watusi in Burlesque. And finally, it was Robert Altman who had to be convinced by Neve Campbell to make 2003's The Company. Lara got 5 questions correct. That means our final scores are Jesse with 40, Eric with 105, and our winner today with 160 points and the half point, it's Lara.
Lara!
Hey, yay! Lara! All right.
Congratulations, Lara. Well done. But that does mean it is the end of the road for Jesse and Eric. Jesse, Eric, thank you again so much for coming on our show today. I hope you guys had a good time as I did, because I certainly had a great one. Before you go, Eric, is there anything you'd like to plug or point our listeners towards?
I hang out on Twitter at Eric_time. And I do some music brackets every now and then that hopefully we'll be doing another one of soon.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. And Jesse, anything you'd like to plug?
Volunteering at your local shelter. I do it, and you can see pictures of puppies on my Instagram at WessieWalk.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jesse. But the big congratulations today are for Lara. Lara, you're going to be moving on to the UBU Division Finals. Before you get there, is there anything that you feel like you want to watch or study up on to fill those blind spots?
Probably just listening to more episodes of this podcast.
There we go. And Lara, is there anything you'd like to plug for our listeners?
No, thank you.
At least you can follow Lara as the falling rose emoji over on our season 6 bracket. Well, that'll do it for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we play the third elimination match in our Mark 7 division, the last elimination match of the season. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Did you mean you win again? Instead of Winner Takes It All?
Is Winner Takes It All not the name of the song?
It's an ABBA.
Bee Gees have a song called You Win Again. Winner Takes It All is ABBA.
They're the same band.
Okay. Whoa. We need to have a different conversation later.